Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 69 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kel Goodman's with me.
What's up?
Today's topic is a very, very important topic. It's one that we haven't even really touched on at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some of the topics that we discuss, sometimes they overlap a little bit, maybe based on a previous episode, and we touch on things multiple times. But this is definitely an important topic, and it's more of kind of a personal topic,
yeah,
but also goes with business as well, right?
Yeah. Well, we're definitely not experts on it.
No.
So
no.
You might take something from this, and it might be a horrible thing for you.
No,
so I'm just teasing.
Take it with a grain of salt.
We've learned some shit in this area,
but
definitely not experts.
So we're going to talk about relationships, spouses, and, you know, in some cases, how they're not supportive of what you're trying to accomplish. Maybe based upon the way that they were raised, you know, maybe they were raised to go get a good job and, you know, go to school and just kind of mold into the system, because that's, I mean, in the 80s or 90s, that's what it was all about, right? Is, hey, let's prep you to go to college and you get a degree, then you work a job for 40 years, you retire, and you just be happy with that, right? Don't overextend yourself or ask for anything more than that. So, and that was the situation that my wife grew up in, right? Was a very conservative family. You don't not go to college in that family, right? In my family, really nobody went to college, right? You know, when you're broke and poor, it's like, get out there and start working right out of high school so that you can start making money, you know? So
you two were like living on the opposite sides of the railroad track.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. You weren't supposed to be getting together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm the black sheep in the family for sure. You know, there's doctors, lawyers, marketing guys that went to school for marketing that's worked with big companies like Pepsi, and another one's a CPA, you know, and then you got me, the sales guy.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, people just look at salespeople, they're slimy or they're this or that or whatever, right? It comes with this weird, notion of who you are because you're in sales, but the sales makes the world go round. You know, sales is ultimately the thing that everybody has to be good at in order to excel.
Yeah.
No matter what industry you're in, you have to sell yourself. You have to sell your product. You have to sell your service or somebody else's product or service in order to be good at it. But I wanted to share a story with you guys because maybe this is something that you are dealing with as well. I remember our first investment. Right, mm-hmm. It was into that trucking company.
Oh yeah,
Randy Phillips Trucking.
Yeah, your wife was right on that one.
Yeah,
right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, for real. So we invested. We gave a guy like $21,000 or $25,000 or something like that years and years ago. And I remember having some tough conversations with my wife on the couch in this little townhouse that we didn't have much at that time.
Yeah.
But I knew that I had to start doing something investment wise in order to get where I'm trying to go financially. Right, it's my responsibility to make sure that the family's taken care of and provided for. And so I had to start making some of these tougher decisions to let go some of our safety net, so to speak, some of that money and savings, and start trying to invest. And no, I don't want to do it, you know, and that was kind of her again, based upon the way that she was raised.
Right.
Right. She didn't want to do it. And so those were some tough conversations. And I said, I'm going to do it regardless. You know, it's my job as the man of the house to make sure that you guys are taken care of. And I believe that this is what we should be doing. Unfortunately, that investment didn't work out.
Right.
So that's why Kel says she was right on that one.
Yeah, strike one.
Yeah, we got screwed. But then that's when I was buying in as a partner with the companies that we
Yeah, it was all right at that time.
It was all right at that time.
And you know, that trucking looked good on paper. He was like providing all these contracts he just landed. Mm-hmm. The revenue was sick. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It was like, dude, we give this guy the money, get his truck on the road.
Yeah. And we were going to own like 33% of the business. We were going to own a third of the business. And again, what ended up happening, the contracts were fabricated.
Yeah, yeah.
They
He's a good little scammer, wasn't
he? Yeah, he took the money and ran, basically. You know, we did have the title to an old diesel truck that he said it was so good, and we had pictures of it, and he built it up to have these nice engine and transmission, which it,
it blue booked well, but then come to find out, it was all.
It was like a. It was worth $8,000. It wasn't worth, you know, $20,000 or whatever it was. Right. It was kind of a piece of crap truck. But
what did the salvage yard end up giving us that towed it off? $2,000. $3,000.
I don't remember. I think that was all we recouped back is like $2,000 or $3,000 because we owed like $5,000 or $6,000 on impound fees or whatever.
We got 10% on that investment.
Yeah.
Guys.
So
not 10% profit. Yeah. 10% total.
Back. Yeah. And so the next investment came about prior to that investment even working out, you know, and she says, well, let's just see if this other investment's going to start paying first before we start letting go of more money. And I already knew by that point that it was done, you know, there wasn't going to be any money coming back. And I said, that's not how it works. Opportunity doesn't wait for you to be ready. There's an opportunity right now. We have to invest. You know, this is just a process. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't tell her that we had lost that money yet because I knew if I did that, then she would have had even a harder time with the next investment. But again, I made another investment and bought in as a partner with Kel and Jeremy with one of the businesses. And luckily, that one worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, your chances are like 100% when you invest with me, bro.
Yeah, there you go. With Kel.
Not true, but.
No, we've been investing with you and we've lost money too. Yeah. You know, so. But the whole purpose of this conversation is sometimes the people closest to you might not understand your dream. Mm-hmm. They might not understand what you're trying to accomplish. And it's very difficult to have some of those conversations where you're wanting something else out of life and you want to take risks, but your partner doesn't.
Right.
And there's some tough conversations that need to be had. And you can't hold it against them because the reason why they have the thoughts that they have is based upon the experiences that they have.
Right.
I had the thoughts that I had based upon the experiences that I had. I grew up very poor and I wanted something much greater. And I knew in order to do that, I would have to put myself in harm's way or risk money for the potential to ultimately make money. Right.
100%. Relationships are a huge part of business, like you said.
Yeah.
And it's really coming down to like being a team, you know, because you do have different goals, you do have different ambitions, and it's really hard to support each other 100%.
Yeah.
But you can if you figure it out. If you work as a team. Far too often we see relationships that are literally just trying to hold each other down.
Yeah.
You know, like I've seen people start growing personally, getting their fitness in order, getting their investments in order, doing all these things, and the spouses don't support them.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're like, it almost scares them to see their significant other start leveling up without them, right?
True.
And so, dude, it's a vicious cycle, but it is such a big part of business and growth. Like, I mean, look at what we talked about with a lot of our goals with our employees this year. A lot of them were like, their last goal was fix my relationships at home. And I was like, dude, that should be your first goal, not your last.
Yeah.
Because you fix that shit at home, everything gets better after that. Financially, business-wise, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so it does take a lot of work. There's a lot to learn about each other and about actually growing as a team.
The whole point here is just to make sure that you guys understand that even if you don't have support and you believe in something with all your heart and you feel like it's the right thing to do, in some cases, you're just going to have to do it without any support. And I hate to say that because I'm not trying to cause problems or issues, but if I would have waited for 100% support from my spouse in the early days of investing and trying to become an entrepreneur, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Yeah.
So, and she's learned to like, dude, I got to support and trust Trevor. She trusts you now with the investments, the business decisions, all of that.
So based upon the success that we've had, you know, now she's, you know, we paid cash for that $500,000 lot. Now she's like, man, I kind of want to get a line of credit on that so we can use that money to continue to invest and have our money continue to make us money.
Yeah.
So she's a completely different person in the way that she views money.
Right.
Right. Money's just a tool. This whole thing is a game. And we talked about the game when we were going to Phoenix last week when we were driving to Vegas.
Right.
And talking about if you view it as a game, That's exactly all it is. And you need to learn the rules of the game, the rules of entrepreneurship. And you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And sometimes you lose the first game or the second game. But eventually, if you continue to do it, you're going to figure out the rules a little bit better. You're going to figure out how to play your hands a little bit better. And good things can come from it.
Right.
But, you know, too many people, I think, are waiting for the green light, waiting for somebody else to validate some of the things that they want to do. And I was the same way, even initially way back when I talked about investing into green energy, and when everybody laughed at me in like 2008 or 2009, right, prior to Tesla being what it is today, or yeah, solar being,
dude,
what it is today.
At like $40 a share at Facebook, you think saying, dude, I'm going to go all in on, yeah, Facebook. I'm like, yeah, all in, bro. Why are you going to go all in? But yeah, dude, had you of.
Yes.
What's Facebook trading at now? Like,
I don't know. I mean,
like
I'm
100 and something bucks. I don't know. Maybe it's only like 80. But anyway, it'd be double your money.
Well, it'd be way more than double.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be way more than double.
I think it was literally like $40 a share or something. What
it was
it
like $32 a share. And right now it's $272 a share.
Right.
So I would have 10 times my money.
Right.
But what happened was, this is when I was new to money, and right, I would vocalize what I would want to do with money, what I felt like was the right decision. And, you know, even you were skeptical of buying into Facebook, like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah, that they've hit their top and turn. I'm like, I really think it's going to continue,
yeah,
to grow and grow,
like,
and grow.
I mean, dude, throw some, not all. Yeah. Right?
I wanted to go all in on green energy and Facebook many, many, many years ago.
True story.
But
I
did let the opinions of other people impact my decision.
Right.
And that's what we want to talk about today, is in some cases, if your instincts are telling you to do something and you believe in it so much, even if you share that information with other people and they don't quite believe it like you believe it, mm-hmm, that's okay.
Yeah.
You have to trust your instincts. They're there for a reason. Start pulling the trigger on things that you believe in. And it took me a while to do that. And I've done it a few other times with different stocks now. And some, yeah, people are like, oh, I wouldn't invest. And I don't care anymore, because I've now have enough data to say, well, I would have done this, this, and this, but I was talked out of it based upon other people's opinions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's a spouse, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, it doesn't matter who it is.
Whether it's a business partner.
Business partner. It doesn't matter who it is. They're not the ones that's responsible for your financial future.
Yeah.
Again, you're the captain of your ship. You're the commander of your life. So at the end of the day, you've got to do what you believe is right for you and your future. And we got to stop seeking validation outside of ourselves, because in some cases it doesn't come in the form of validation.
Well,
it comes in the form of doubt. And then it talks you out of the things that you feel like you should have done. Now, 10 years ago, I could have 10 times my money.
Right.
By now, right?
Well, you know, getting back to the relationship thing, it brings up a really good point, because there's different leaders in different areas. Like, there's, yeah, areas your wife leads in the home.
Yes.
And there's areas you lead in the home.
Yes.
Okay? It doesn't matter who's the man, who's the woman, whatever. She leads in her area. You lead in your area.
Yeah.
You have taken on this leadership role of the money, the financial decisions, the business decisions. She's probably taken on leadership roles as far as, you know, the family,
yeah,
runs and operates,
oh, yeah,
at home or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so, and I know many people that the man takes that role or whatever.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you guys have established leadership roles, just like me in my home, you,
mm-hmm,
know? And so what I'm getting at is you've gotten to that point now where your relationship's a lot more stable because you've earned the trust of each other in that area. So, for example, she doesn't really probably question you too much now when you're, mm-hmm, like, hey, I think we should invest into this.
No.
And you probably have areas you don't question her.
Yeah.
And it's been that way in my relationship. It's even been that way in our business partnership.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I haven't talked to you about many investments we've made into groups that send us business.
No.
And that there were times like, yeah, because I've established and earned your trust. You're like, damn, dude, like 8 out of 10 deals have worked out,
yeah,
that you've invested into. So do your thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, now it's like, that's not even like a weird thing that we have to get together and vote on and argue over. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like, dude, that's probably the best interest of our company.
Yeah.
Your wife knows that's probably in the best interest of our future, you know? And that's really what's happened is, you know, you're going to go through these battles in a relationship,
yeah,
but at some point you do have to take on the leadership role of where you're trying to grow your family. And eventually, when you earn that trust of your spouse, you guys are going to start coming together, and you're going to be able to support each other in your roles that you do take the lead on.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyway.
I think it comes down to a communication issue, right?
Absolutely.
Early on, I wasn't the best communicator. I had the thoughts in my head, and I was bought in on those thoughts, and so I expected her to give me 100% trust,
right?
You know, and then I felt it didn't feel good hearing somebody say no because I felt so strongly about it. And it gets confusing at first, right? You're like, well, why don't you trust me? Yeah. It's
an ego hit. Yeah, it's several
all,
things.
It's all
you
of
know?
That. But right. I didn't communicate well enough. And when we finally had some of those difficult conversations of, you know, hey, look, I feel like I'm responsible to make sure that this family has a great financial future. I feel the stress of that. You're not having to take on that much weight in terms of the finances as the head of the household is, you know? So I felt as though that I had to sit down and have a different type of conversation, not this is what we're going to do, you know?
I had this situation just recently with my wife, like, because we've had our battles back and forth on, that's probably not a good idea, that, whatever, we argue. But now, just recently, because we have established so much trust for each other in our roles, like, just even that Everbowl investment recently, I'm like, oh, yeah. I didn't talk to her that much about it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, I wired off, you know, X amount of dollars for this investment.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, sometimes you feel like, I hope this works out, you know, like I think it's pretty safe or whatever. She's like, oh, that's going to work out. Like she didn't argue with me, like, why'd you do that without talking to me or anything. She's like, oh, it's going to work out. She just has faith now.
Yeah.
She has faith in me and she has faith in like our direction.
Well, she has data now.
Yeah.
She has data, right? So that also makes it much easier.
Mm-hmm.
So your spouse or your loved one doesn't have the data. You don't have data. All you're working off of is your instinct,
right?
So you don't have – there's no proof in the pudding. It was the same concept when I came, hey, there's this investment. This is what's going to happen. And she was all for it. Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, cool. Because we're at the same point of our life where let's use our money to our advantage and make sure that we're setting ourselves up for a better future.
Right.
And based upon the data that she has now that we've done that so many times over, and that's large in part of why we are where we are today financially, then it makes it much easier for her to just say, okay, go for it. And you know, it's not easy to wire 80 grand. It's not easy. I mean, we've invested 75 grand into, you know, the Nutra business that didn't work out, right? Yeah. It's the process of elimination. You always have to be investing. Some of them will work out, some of them won't. But it's about sitting down and really having the hard conversations of what you're expecting out of yourself, what your goals are, what their goals are, and you know, finding some middle ground there and saying, this is what I think that we need to do in order to get where we're trying to go. People need to understand that you're not going to make a decision on purpose to harm your family.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to say exactly that to a spouse. Look, I'm not going to purposely put us in a bad financial situation. You're acting like I'm going to invest money knowing that it's just going to be lost.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm investing money or want to invest money is because I care so much about our family, because I care so much about where we should be financially. I want my kids to have a better life than I had, right? A better upbringing than I had. I want them to be able to travel and see the world. I wasn't able to take vacations as a kid. And so I want them to have some of the luxuries that we couldn't afford as children. And so sometimes you have to reframe the conversation, because initially when you're talking about money going out, it kind of maybe seems selfish to you, to your partner, right? Like, oh, you just want to invest because you have to let them know that the pressure that you feel in order to provide for the family and help them understand and see things from your point of view. And that's one thing that I wasn't really good at, you know, initially. It was, this is what I'm going to do. I kind of, you know, I'm, you know, it was all about me and my thoughts and what I expect rather than trying to help her understand my point of view. I didn't care if she understood. Okay, that was immature. That was obviously very new in a marriage, right? Mm-hmm. I think we were only married for a year at that point, right? And so there comes issues with that, learning how to live with each other, learning how to co-parent, learning how to deal with money together, right? Yeah. And so there's all these new stresses. And with all of those new experiences, in some cases, with money going out and you have a new family that you're supposed to provide for, there's fear there.
Totally.
You know, I had fear too. Right. But that doesn't mean that I let fear ultimately make the decision for me. I made the decision that connected with the goal of what I stated I wanted to have my future look like financially. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's really that was the driving force. But I wish I would have done better about articulating why I felt so strongly about investing, why I felt so strongly about, you know, becoming an entrepreneur. I never saw myself working to the age of 65 for somebody else, 9 to 5, barely getting by. That wasn't it. I knew it wasn't it. And I knew I had to start, you know, making some of these tough decisions. I think we only had about 30 grand in the bank at that point when I invested 8, then I invested another 10. And then, you know, I think I was 26 grand in with only 30 grand in the bank before money started coming back, right? Oh, yeah. So we were running very close to the bottom of our savings, living in a little townhouse, you know, and I said, what's the point of saving money if we're not going to use it to our advantage?
Yeah.
And so again, different upbringings.
Yeah.
So different points of view, different ideas on what money is, right? And so
I agree though, man. Communication is definitely key because everyone's upbringing is so different, man. It's a 100% battle that everyone's going to go through in relationships. There's just much reprogramming that has to be done for you and your family to break the molds of the things that you were brought up in that didn't work for you or that you don't want to accept for your family.
You're going to have to create your own systems of belief between the both of you, right? So her family had a system of beliefs. Mine didn't really have any except for just trying to survive,
right? In every area, probably.
So,
and most relationships are going to start off that way.
Yeah. So when you're talking about bringing two people together with two totally different upbringings, you're going to have two totally different points of view.
Yeah.
And so again, if you believe wholeheartedly in what you're trying to accomplish for your family, and if you have the right intentions, not just to be rich and look rich and try to impress other people, if it's genuinely about securing your financial future for your family and just wanting better, then you're going to have to follow your instincts even without support in some cases.
Yeah.
I'm not saying just, you know, do anything behind somebody's back. I would never. I still had the conversations, even though she didn't agree. She finally, you know, submitted and said, okay, you know, go for it. It's not like she was no. And then I said, screw you, I'm going to do it anyways. It got to the point where I kind of wore her down. She says, do whatever. You know, so
a lot of arguments were won.
Just do whatever, right? And I'm like, finally, man, you know, I had to rope a dope for a while and just keep going. But that's a very, very difficult thing in business to not have somebody on the same page as you right from the get-go. So if you're not an entrepreneur yet and you don't have that support, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can still get where you're trying to go. It's just going to take time. It's going to take time of you making good decisions. It's going to take time of them seeing the actions that you're displaying in terms of matching up with what you say that you want.
Right.
Right. So if I was just sitting on the couch, not really doing anything or not being a provider and making halfway decent income at that point, then my actions were a lot different than an individual that says that they want to be financially free. I was doing everything that I could as an employee, as a sales rep, to provide as much income for my family to be financially free. Mm-hmm. And so again, your actions have to line up with some of the things that you say. You can't be a lazy person and expect your spouse to have trust that you're gonna do good by the family, taking 10 grand or 20 grand or whatever it is out of the bank, because maybe the lack of trust is actions. Maybe it's not the way that they grew up. Mm-hmm. You've got to sit down and have some of those tough conversations and make sure that your family goals are the exact same goals, because in some cases they're not going to be, and you have to figure out a way to kind of merge those two things.
And that's a good point too, man. Like me and my wife have very different goals, but we've learned to really support each other, right? Mm-hmm. We try and lift each other up. There was actually just recently, back when I did 75 Hard, man, I was getting really tuned in on some stuff, and it was a lot me. I was like, babe, I'm going to write a book, and I was coming home every day. Mm-hmm. I was like, what do you think about this chapter, and what if I write it like this, and what do you think about this, and I'm going back my old stories, and she finally got to a point where she was, I could tell, she got like very like,
annoyed.
Shut the hell up. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And
she didn't
actually
have the same
up
enthusiasm as you about something that you were excited about, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. But we did end up having a very good talk later, because we ended up having a fight over it. We don't have a lot of fights. That was probably one of our last fights. And she actually admitted it. She owned it. She's like, you know what? I did. I got annoyed. Everything seemed about you. You kind of like weren't paying attention to all these things that were going on here or there or whatever. And things that she wants to do. She's like, I have goals. I have ambitions. I'm like, damn, that's true. And it was cool. We were able to come to a place where it was like, she was like, I did kind of like put out your fire a little bit on, on what you were trying to accomplish with your writing and, you know, the things that you're wanting to do and level up in. And she's like, and I admitted too, I was like, I didn't really consider a lot of the goals that you have for yourself. Like, I know you've been taking time off, focusing on the baby and the kids. And I wasn't thinking about her business, because she's a business owner as well, where she wants to grow it. And we have gotten to a point where it's like, I'm like, okay, cool. How can I support your dreams? Yeah. Like, you want to evolve the hair salon into a blow dry bar and maybe even turn it into a chain. That's different than what I was expecting her to want to do. But I'm like, okay, cool. I can support that. And she's gotten to a point where she's like, that wasn't cool with me. Like, I was trying to put out your fire because it seemed like you were all about you. But, you know, then she was making it all about her. Like, anyway, there was a lot of weird shit going on with that. But we have come to a place where it's like, we're able to sit back and be like, okay, cool. Like, you have goals, I have goals, but then we do have family goals too.
Yeah.
We have a picture of what it looks like to be financially independent. We have a picture of like what it's going to look like when money doesn't dictate what we do with our time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. We can support each other in our separate ventures, but still have goals aligned with what our future does look like.
And that's a good point. A lot of people expect support from their spouse, and if it's not given, again, the wall goes up, the ego feels hurt.
Yeah.
The question is, are you giving your spouse full support? Mm-hmm. Do you even know what their goals are? Are you even asking them what they're trying to accomplish and helping them accomplish what they want to accomplish, rather than it just being a one-way street where it's like, I want to do this, I that. Again, you may have good intentions of why you want to do those things, but you're expecting to be grandfathered into support from your spouse immediately.
It's but always earned.
But maybe they have things that they want to do or accomplish as well that you're not aware of, and that they feel as though that you're not giving them support on. You might have to be the leader in that scenario and have the conversation. Here's what I want, but let's talk about what your goals are as well and how I can help facilitate what you're trying to accomplish. Right?
It's very easy to get caught up in your own shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And get consumed and all that, which is really not bad. Your obsessions become your possessions,
exactly.
Right? Like, I love that saying.
Yeah.
But, dude, you're in a relationship. Communication's key. This is the exact reason why me and my wife still go to marriage counseling. We go see a gal that we trust. And it's kind of like, you can call it marriage coaching, you can call it therapy, whatever you want. I don't really care what people think about it. We do it when things aren't even bad.
Yeah.
We still go. We got a little sidetracked from all of the shit, moving into a new house, all that stuff. But we just talked the other night, like, hey, let's get back on that. We haven't been in a few months. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason to go other than the fact that we want to continue to work on our communication.
Well, some people are going to wait till their marriage gets bad in order then to get help. It's almost like waiting until your car completely breaks down to then start maintaining it and then change its oil. Like, it doesn't make sense.
That's a really good analogy, dude.
Don't wait until the wheels fall off in order to start fixing it.
Yeah.
You know, you take your car in to get an oil change every 3 months or every 6 months, depending on obviously what oil you use. But again, that's just maintenance to make sure that everything's good, you know, and you don't have to wait for things to get bad in order to address it or fix it, right? And so that's what I would use that concept is. It's just marriage maintenance, right?
Great.
Is what I would call it, just to make sure that the communication is still there. Because in some cases, people don't bring up stuff inside the home that they'll bring up in a therapy session or counseling or whatever it is. And that's a safe place to have people open up a little bit more and tell their true feelings and have a third party interpret that and help the other person see the other person's side of things.
Well, and it just goes back to your point of like, it's a tool to be able to support each other, right? Don't get caught up in just you all the time. Like, you know, like, hey, where can I support you in this? Where can she support me in this, right? It's because we practice that communication. We actually use it as a tool to continue to grow. But you're damn right, dude. Like, it's a straight up fact. You can't just expect all the support for what you want to do and not support your partner and what they want to do.
Yeah. And
especially for the greater good.
With that said, are you focusing on all the things that they could be doing differently? Or are you focused on all the things that you could be doing differently in the relationship?
Yeah.
And I think that that's also another issue that comes up. Oh, I don't get this, and this from my spouse. And then you grow resentment, but all you're doing is focusing on the things that you don't get rather than focusing on the things that you could change about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what could you do to give more to that relationship rather than what they can do to give more to the relationship, right?
That's so, so important.
It all starts with you first, right? And if you take extreme ownership of that situation and make sure that you're, one, catering to their needs and you understand what their goals are and what they're trying to accomplish and help tie in what you're trying to accomplish with their goals. Help them understand, oh, well, you want this, this, and this. I think if I do this, this, and this, that it, that can help us get there.
Right.
You say that you want to, you know, take the kids to Disneyland once a year. You want to have family vacations, and but we're not making the decisions that we need to in order to put us in a situation where, one, I can take the time off, and secondly, that we have enough money to be able to do that all the time. Right. So their goals may be more family oriented, and yours might be more financially oriented. And there's a way to merge those two and help them understand and see things from your perspective by tying your goals in with their goals so that you guys understand each other a little bit better and understand what the family long-term goals are. You know, you'll have your short-term goals. They'll have, you know, if I'm trying to get in shape, I need, and she wants to go to the gym too, I need to be able to make sure that I'm there and watching the kids so that she has that time too, if that's something that's important to her. So there's give and take in relationships, right? There's sacrifices that you have to make in order to make sure that they're happy, and there's sacrifices that they have to make in order to make sure that you're happy and that both parties are on the same page, and you're pushing the cart down the line rather than just being stuck where you're at, you know, emotionally, financially, all of those things. And so therapy is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, communication's a good thing because that's what therapy pretty much is, right? You know, talking openly about what your goals are, what you want to accomplish with money. Understand how they view money.
Right.
Because if they view money differently, you have to help them understand it from your perspective, and then you have to try to understand it from their perspective and, again, try to find that middle ground.
Right? I love that, dude. I love that. So, you know what, bro? Like, I was just having a thought as you were saying that. Marriage or relationships.
Marriage is what brings us together for episode 69.
That's right.
You know?
Well, here's the thing, man. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now without my marriage.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
It's such a huge accelerator if you do it right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, dude, you don't have...
Oh, that's true.
Where would you be like if you didn't have your family and your wife, right? And so why would you not want to invest into that?
Yeah.
Why would you not want to go and figure out, hey, man, if I can make this better, I think we could work together. We can go twice as far. And that is just the flat out truth.
Yes.
So whether you're a young buck just starting out in business and you are going to go get married, or whether you're in business and you're having some relationship problems, just know, and I feel like this is a fact, okay? If you guys can come together and really work as a team, you're going to go twice as far than if you're just stubbornly trying to do it your way or trying to build success when there is that type of contempt in your relationship. Or if you're going to get married, just know that, like, dude, you have someone that stands behind you. You have somebody that supports you, and you support them. You're going to go twice as far.
Absolutely.
And I read this book called Seven Principles on How to Make Marriage Work by John Gottman. And I read this after I got divorced.
Yeah.
Even though in my mind I was like,
I don't want to get married ever
again. I don't think I'll ever get married again. Everyone says that.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, everybody says it. I literally laugh now when I hear people have their divorce.
You're like, I'm like, uh-huh, we'll give it a year or two, pal.
Yeah. If not 4 months, Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly.
But, dude, it actually is a really cool thing if you do – if you align yourself with your partner, you really can go so much further. A marriage doesn't have to be a hindrance. A relationship doesn't have to be something to hold you back. It's something that can propel you. And so I encourage people, man, like, read something like that. Educate yourself on how to make a marriage work, because if you come together, man, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in that.
What's that saying that, like, behind every successful man is a –
is a strong woman.
It goes both ways because we know how many powerhouse women that are
entrepreneurship groups and the man holds the house down and they do a great job of being the head of household financially.
Right. This book, though, by John Gottman is pretty cool. The dude literally created what's called the Love Lab. Okay, it's in Seattle, and it's still going to this day. But what they do is they get couples to come in and live in this – in this bubble. Apartment for yeah. 6 months, all videotaped. And they study these couples, and they analyze the way that they
communicate. Yeah.
Are they sarcastic with each other? Do they roll their eyes at each other when do they have that type of contempt for each other? Do they, you know, how do they argue? How do they solve problems? Like, they've analyzed this for, like, dude, I'm talking like 30, 40 years. John Gottman has, like, dedicated his life to understanding
marriages.
What makes a marriage successful in the way they communicate, and what makes it destroy.
Apart. Yeah,
he's gotten to the point where he's like, I can point out within 5 minutes of meeting a couple just in how they react towards each other of if that marriage is going to work or not based on just a few things, you know? And so the book's really cool, but
cool.
The reason I read it is because I actually started reading it when we were trying to make my failed marriage work. And then I decided, you know what, I'm just going to see it through. I'm going to finish the book, and I'm going to do the homework in it, because if I do get married again, I want it to work.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and I'm so glad I did, man, because there's a lot of things that I practice in that book that I feel like does strengthen my relationship, which I feel like strengthens our business.
Yeah.
It helps in every area, right?
Yeah.
It helps create happier kids. It helps create bigger bank accounts. It helps create more successful businesses.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a tool, man. People should really put a lot of effort into their home with their partners to really achieve the success that they want.
Dude, I have to agree with you that without a doubt,
you go to the gym.
I wouldn't be where I'm at financially if it wasn't for my spouse. And here's why. Again, I'm talking about some of the negative stuff that you have to deal with in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But based upon her conservative background, I didn't spend money like I had spent money when I was single, right? If I made $2,000 in a week, I'd pay my car payment $500, and I'd be like, okay, I got, you know, after taxes, $1,100. Let's go to the bar.
Right.
And I would blow money, right? And so when I got into this relationship, she was a saver.
Right.
You know, she was making $12 to $15 an hour, and she had, you know, $15,000 saved, and I was making $60,000 to $80,000 a year as a sales rep at that time, and had like $2,000 or $3,000.
Right.
So she was making like three times less as what I was making, or half of what I was making, and she had way more money than I did. So the conservative side kicked in, right, in certain cases, maybe not letting money go in investment, but once money started coming back from businesses, based upon the fact that she's not a spender, she's very disciplined, conservative with money, we were able to grow a lot of money in the bank.
Right.
So it was kind of a hybrid, right? Me, back in the day, I wanted the fanciest cars, whatever I could possibly afford in terms of a monthly payment, I wanted to go sign my name on it and drive something nice.
Right.
But when I got into that marriage, it was a little bit different. That's one of the reasons why I drove the Lancer. That was her Lancer, and I gave her my car when I was driving that car with no air conditioning for years, while I was making $120,000 a year. It was partly because of the way that she is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to credit her for us to even have the amount of money that we had and that we have today to continue to make these investments.
Yeah.
So again, there is a little bit of give and take. It was a struggle at first. She's obviously came around, you know, and there's a lot more support with a lot less communication. I can come home and say, this is what we're going to do. She's all for it. Whether it's throwing $100,000 at stocks, whether it's $80,000 over here at that franchise that we just invested in, right? So she's far more supportive now, but part of that is because we have a large amount of money in the bank, and she knows that that's just a little piece of what we ultimately have.
Right.
And I have to basically, you know, pat her on the back to say, hey, you know, one, she's not a spender. She's a big time saver. And that has helped us as a family get into the situation where we have the ability to invest.
Absolutely.
She's
been a huge asset to you.
Yes.
My wife's been a huge asset to me. We've been huge assets to them. And that's how it should be. You should want to be an asset to your partner.
Yes.
You should want to be an asset to your family.
Yes.
And just like you go to the gym and you work hard to achieve results, you go to work every day, you put all this work into things, you should put some work into your relationship as well.
Absolutely.
If you really want to reach a pinnacle level of success.
Well, it doesn't matter anything that you want to be successful. There should be time and money invested into it. You're talking about time with therapy, money with therapy, you know, whether it's dates, whether it's vacations, whatever it is, you know. But yeah, you know, we feel as though that, again, too many people are seeking validation and letting doubts creep in based upon somebody else. And in some case, that somebody else is the person that's closest to you, your parents, your friends, your family, even a spouse.
Right.
And so in some cases, you've got to have the tough conversations and put your foot down and say, this is what I believe in. This is what we're going to do. And you have to take control and lead. You know, and it's not easy to do because mm-hmm. there can be some contention. And I'm not trying to cause problems in anybody's marriage, but I want you guys to also understand that in some cases, maybe it's a yellow light. It's not a green light. Yeah. You know, get it to yellow where they say, do whatever, you know, and then creep through that yellow light and take advantage of that small window of opportunity once you've beaten them down enough, you know, begging them to understand your point of view, right? So, but again, make sure you try to understand theirs, and that's where I failed early on.
One thing you just said, though, before we wrap up about family and the pressures from outside people. That's another reason why we do go to therapy and shit. And we actually go and sit with experts to communicate.
Yeah.
People get such horrible advice from their loved ones, from their closest friends, their closest family. Well, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that, or he should be doing this or she should be doing that. Like, people get all bombarded with all this horrible advice. It's like, you're like, even though they mean well, they're not experts.
They're not experts.
They have their own problems.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, your mother-in-law that's telling your whatever wife or husband that you're doing this wrong or that wrong has her own problems that she needs help with, and she shouldn't be giving you advice on how to get through those problems. And so, that, I mean, you said something about outside people getting pressure on the relationship, and that's true, man. That's another reason why we go, because too many people take their friends and family advice, and it makes things a lot worse.
Well, and they usually take your side.
Oh, 100%. That's why they do things.
They're your family and your friends.
Yeah.
So they're going to see things from your perspective. Yeah. It's very difficult to find people that will go, well, Trevor, have you thought about their point of view? Mm-hmm. But that's what a therapist does, because they're not committed to one of the spouses, right? Yeah. So it's very neutral,
right?
So in some cases, you've got to be able to swallow the pride a little bit and be wrong in certain scenarios and say, okay, I can do better, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I think it's important, because we go to people that we care about and that we love and that we trust, but all they're going to do is validate your side. They don't. It's very rare that
they're
going to
have your back.
Kel, well, what about Kaylee over here? Have you thought about this, this, and this? He's like,
hey, a real good friend would, though. You know? Right? Real good friends will call you out on your shit and all that. But, dude, most don't. It's tough to do because
you love and you care about somebody. Yeah. So it's tough to say, hey, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that contention, right? Yeah. Or whatever it is. And you're trying to be supportive. But in some cases, support is actually doing far more damage than it is helping.
Yeah. They'll dig up old shit. Like, what? He ain't supporting you with this. What about when he did this
exactly.
9 years ago? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they remember that shit.
Yeah, because all they know is usually the bad side of it.
It's good. They do have your back. They love you, all that shit, but they're not qualified. Like, you know, you should probably have some sort of marriage coach or some sort of space that you and your partner can go to really, like, grow without all the outside bullshit, right?
Exactly. So.
Good episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode. Yeah. Make sure that you guys are checking out our YouTube channel. We're, I think, about 150 subscribers away from 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you have a YouTube channel, just do us a favor and subscribe to that.
You should want to see these ugly mugs, you know?
Yeah, we'll make you feel good about yourself. So, so you know, watch us so that and then go look in the mirror and feel great. Yeah. So
come gaze into our eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Come gaze into our eyes right here.
But, check us out on YouTube. Make sure that you guys are leaving reviews and subscribing to the podcast, because that also helps get exposure. But today's review comes from Kevin. He owns a company called Load Drag Line Hand. It's like I believe it's a fishing company. But he says, thankful. It's a 5-star review. I don't have any entrepreneurship friends or family to lean on for mentorship. Trevor and Kel have been the guidance I so desperately needed. They walk the talk. I can tell you without a doubt, I would not be in business today if it wasn't for them. Through their podcast, I was able to make a really hard decision. It was a decision I didn't agree with, but I trusted their judgment. Now I can't hire and grow fast enough to keep up with demand. Nothing but power moves from here on out. Thank you, T-Unit and Kilo G. we appreciate the nicknames. P.S. We now work with Easier Accounting to do our bookkeeping. It's been straight up amazing. Can't say enough good things about the service they provide for us. So
that is so badass.
Yeah, we love that. Yeah, we love that, obviously. You know, but
I know how it feels too, man. We've all been to that place, that spot in our life, most of us anyway, where we don't have people around us that are very successful in business.
Basically what we just talked about.
Yeah, right.
Not having the people with the right mindset or the same mindset as you of trying to grow, trying to get better.
Right.
You know, somebody that's okay working a job, you know, for 40 years and retiring on Social Security at 65 is not the right person to get business advice from or life advice.
Right.
If your goals are different than that, right? So that's their perception and that's what they believe in. Mm-hmm. You may believe in something completely different. And so sometimes you have to turn to outside voices through guys like us or other podcasts or books or whatever it is in order to validate maybe some of the thoughts that you're having and help build the confidence that you need to make some of those tough decisions. He flat out said, you know, he didn't agree with some of the stuff that that we advised him to do, but he did it anyways, and now he can't grow fast enough.
I love it, man.
You know, so.
And it's all on him, dude. You're the one that took action.
So.
He's the one that executed, you know, even if it's something he didn't fully agree with. He decided to give it a try, be open-minded. So, I mean, the success is all on him, dude.
Absolutely.
I'm so stoked to
the
even
hardest
be a small piece of that.
Yeah,
right?
The hardest part is taking action.
Yeah.
And especially taking action on something that you might not fully agree with, but you're believing in the people that you look up to or the people that have been already successful in life or in business or whatever it is, right? I mean, I'm not going to say in life, but, you know, there's plenty of things that I still need to work on. Patience is really the biggest one.
Hey, me too, bro.
Yeah, I mean, geez Louise. But anywho, I can go on all day about the things that I lack, but, you know, we all lack a little bit of things in different areas, and the whole point is always continued growth. Try to see things from other people's perspective, but at the same time, don't compromise on what you want out of your life and what you expect out of you. So,
totally agree.
Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Guys, keep it real and keep kicking ass. Thank you.